This is a replay of the Wednesday night, June 28th WGN show we started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. But as usual, I'm not without stories to talk about if you don't call. Yeah, at your own peril. All right, so the headline of this story seemed rather boring. America's trust and use of AI chat boxes. And I almost didn't read it. Yeah, well, it turned out I had the time, so I did. Looked at chat box use in 2023 at work and all that, and I discovered that 4 out of 5 people at work have used AI. It does not say whether the individuals know it, which is a big part of this story, to say the least. But OpenAI launched ChatGPT, as you know, in 2002, and it's widely accepted. 92% of Americans say they've used an AI chat box. Again, I don't know what percentage of them know it. Now, those are work figures. So then you get to home use, AI in personal lives. Oh man, this is where it gets good. 4 out of 5 Americans reported they've used AI chat boxes in their personal lives. Yeah, you know, answering random questions and such, but 46% of Americans have asked an AI chatbot for romantic advice. I kid you not. This explains everything, doesn't it? 1 in 10 have asked an AI chatbox for relationship advice, and 74% have followed it. Now, what are they asking? And again, the glaring omission from this report is, did the people know it? Now, increasingly, I've seen disclosures. I saw a number of articles, actually, that said partially written by AI. But you also often as not see nothing of that type. So what is the AI chat box being asked? Well, romantic partner advice, 55%. 29% want advice with friends. 25% want advice with their spouse. All right, if you're asking artificial intelligence about your spouse, the marriage is already doomed. Don't bother. File for divorce now. Parent, 21%. Child, 20%. 1 in 12 ask specifically for help with their love life. Now, of course, general advice, sure, that's 62%. But planning a date, 27%. Okay, you know, that could be all right. Maybe it's like where to take him or her for dinner or one of those. Writing a love letter. Yes, the AI love letter. 19% of respondents says they've done that. Yeah. Help in responding to a text. Oh, man, if you need help in that, there's only 2 words you need. Goodbye. And writing a poem. 11% have asked AI to write them a poem. And the most alarming to me was that 1 in 7 people have used an AI chat box to feel less lonely. We've got a problem. By the way, 71% of the people who ask for love life advice did not tell their love interest. They asked the AI chat box. Good call. Makes sense to me. I don't know how you'd bring that up, you know, over the shrimp cocktail or what have you. But Again, what's not clear-cut is whether or not Americans realize they're doing this. And so I almost think not, because I would guess that the report, because obviously it's put together probably at the behest of ChatGPT or somebody like that who has has something to gain by this. But yeah, not only have they asked for advice in love life, but they're following it. Oh man. And of course, we've done things on the air about, you know, how you can get AI to respond any way you want. By the way, people are asking about money too, which also explains a lot, don't you think? Yeah. And 1 in 5, by the way, said they'd pay to use an AI chat box. I gotta believe that they don't know they are. 45% would use a chatbot to make financial decisions. Oh yeah, that's a yardstick I'd follow. And 1 in 4 ask for help with gambling. I'm sure it's not how to stop, but I can't imagine that a chatbot is going to be able to give you your lucky numbers. Well, deciphering odds, maybe. I mean, you know, mathematical interests, of course. But as far as picking lottery numbers, well, you might as well just use the fortune cookie you got from the Chinese restaurant. And apparently, AI, since last year, has just soared in growth. Transforming the way we interact and engage with technology, the report says. I still say they can't possibly know it, do they? So in May, a survey was taken of 1,008 Americans about their trust and use of AI chatbots. Respondents, 50% male, 48% female. Of course, I used to say, what are the other two? But I don't have to worry about that anymore. 1% are non-binary and 1% would rather not say. Maybe they're not sure. I don't know. They ranged from 18 to 85 years old, average age of 40. Okay. So there you have it. It really makes you wonder, because there's been so much on AI writing copy and things like that, whether certain forms of employment are going to be done away with. Like I say, yesterday I saw an email with about 11 stories they wanted me to take a look at, which I didn't. But I noticed that of the 11, 10 of them had the disclaimer that they were at least partially written by AI, including the Madonna story that you heard on the news earlier right here on WGN. So I don't know how you feel about that, but if you're inclined to call, I'd love it. If not, I've got a number of other things we can go over. And if worse comes to worse, slime from the checkout line. That's right, we got tabloids. All right, 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, the one thing I know for sure if you listen to the show is you're a radio lover. And if you are, I also know that in the last few decades, you've just been disgusted with the state of reception on the radios you buy. And I'll tell you what, Bob Crane was too. And years ago, he determined that he could manufacture a radio that would have real reception. Firstly, stellar AM, that twin coil ferret antenna is wonderful. And great FM too. Yeah, the reception that you're used to getting, well, you get it again. But not only that, now the C. Crane Company has a ton of really neat radios that do a lot more than just pick up stations better than anything else. And one of those is the CC Solar, which is just a godsend. You know, talk about the perfect emergency radio. You know, lights go out, and what do you want? You want a radio? You want a flashlight, if it's at night especially, right? And you get both, and you discover the batteries are dead. What now? Well, see, that's the thing about the CC Solar. Sure, you can get an optional AC adapter if you want to do that. Yes, you can use the batteries, and they last a really long time, but not forever. Yes, you can put it in a windowsill, and you can go ahead and charge it that way. But when all else fails, you don't have sun, you don't have batteries, you don't have electricity, it's got a little hand crank. You hand crank this for about 30 seconds, it's going to play for about 30 minutes. But not only that, it's going to store enough energy to bring a dead cell phone battery back to life. Now, it's not going to be what you'll use regularly for the phone, but it'll be enough energy to make that important contact in an emergency if you need to. It's about the size of a brick. It's got a clean, modern digital design, one-touch memories, 5 of them with, like I say, superior reception. And by the way, excellent audio that you can enjoy every day. So AM, FM, weather band, weather alerts from NOAA, and a built-in LED flashlight. It's a necessity, especially when normal communication is down. Check it out at ccradio.com, the CC Radio Solar, ccradio.com. You can order online at ccradio.com or Best customer service in the world, nothing outsourced. Call them. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. But better yet, ccradio.com, because not only will you get great products, but great information as well. Now, if you need it overnight, sure, you can do REI or Amazon. It's available. But you want the real experience, go to ccradio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Germany was having trouble, didn't know what to do. Looked around, they didn't want to hire in the Jew. So they found a guy to hit the sky. A big shot, a wind shot, and now it's springtime for Hitler and Germany. Va, 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 va. Deutschland is happy and gay. Va, va, va. We're marching to a faster pace. Hey, look out, here come the master race. Digga, 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 springtime for Hitler and Germany.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's Mel Brooks. You won't hear it anywhere else because he sung it to me. Right? But he turned 97 today, so happy, happy birthday, Mel Brooks. Born in 1926 in Brooklyn, and outlast everybody from his days on your show, Sid Caesar, to just about the current. Yeah, he's the man left standing, and good for him. So 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, Elizabeth in Rock Falls, Illinois, kicks it off, and Elizabeth, how's Mr. Chubbs?
Oh, dear. I hate to keep reporting bad things about him.
Oh, no. By the way, we should mention that Mr. Chubbs is a rescue dog. All right. So,
I was cutting up a cantaloupe.
Uh-oh.
And I brought the chunks into the living room along with some cottage cheese. Mm. And here he came with the husk of it or the hull of it or whatever, the skin, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And he just chomped the whole thing down.
Sure.
Just anything.
Sure.
Anything.
Well, you're not feeding him because you have him on this diet, so he'll take anything he can get.
I know. It's funny, but it's sad, too.
It is. Poor Mr. Chubbs.
I heard Mel Brooks and Blazing Saddles was my husband's favorite movie.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many times he watched that.
Yeah, Mel was, I shouldn't say was, he's still alive. He's just terrific.
There's no one like him.
No.
Well, I wanted to tell you what's going on here in Illinois. We're smothering from Canadian wildfire smoke.
Oh, you betcha you are. I know.
It's terrible, Raleigh. I've been inside for the last 3 days.
They have maps. They have maps throughout the country. It's spreading. I mean, it's
I know. It's like a purple fog all over northern Illinois, and I think even in Europe now, too, they're getting some.
Well, you not only have the smoke, but you have all the noxious chemical retardants that they use to try and get rid of the fire.
I know. It makes your eyes burn, your throat sore. It's terrible. We got one more day of it, I think, and then it's going to go down to moderate range, which I don't know if that's much better or not.
Well, it's hard to say. You know, it's the weather. Come on. It's the only job you can have where you can be wrong 95% of the time and they give you a raise. But it is, I guess they're saying now a third of the U.S. population, and granted, there aren't many people in places like Wyoming, but a third of the population from the Midwest to the East Coast are under air quality alerts directly from Canadian wildfire.
Well, I know they've canceled events in Chicago and all over.
Well, they're sure not going to cancel the race. I mean, that's going to be interesting in and of itself.
That'll add more pollution.
Well, it'll add everything. Yeah, it'll be a good time will not be had by all.
When is it?
Imminent this weekend.
Yeah.
So, it's...
I'm just feeling very sorry for myself.
Well, stay indoors. See, it's an excuse to just be a sludge, just veg out.
I know, but it's even smoky inside the house. You can't.
Well, right, right. Because who has it? Who has an air conditioning system that's going to be filtering out, you know, smoke? Usually,
I have to turn it down to about 60 to keep it going.
Yeah, yeah. Because usually, if you have that kind of smoke in your house, the house is probably on fire. So you got a bigger problem. But in this case, yeah, it's interesting. I guess the race itself is Sunday at 2:30, but I think that the after events and the prior events will be interesting. And of course, what happens if there's a major crash? You know, because you see that on the track. So I think they put up fencing, but that'll be interesting.
Is that on television, do you think?
I would think it's an opportunity. I don't think they'll black it out like a football game. But I'll try to look it up. Where can the NASCAR... I've never tried to look this up before, but I will. NASCAR race Chicago be seen on television, on local television. Maybe they're all carrying it. Well, of course, if you speak Spanish, you can watch it on Telemundo, but NBC5... And NBC Sports Chicago.
Okay.
So there you get it. Or if all else fails, Telemundo. That's the deal. Yes.
Well, there's one good thing. My smoke alarms haven't gone off yet.
Yet. Exactly. See, that's the operative word, yet. But, of course, the smoke alarms aren't tuned to pick up the noxious chemicals.
No.
Yeah, right,
no.
Exactly. So, you know, you'll be down for the count and they still won't go off.
Gosh. Well, I have a request.
Okay.
I propose to my situation. Smoke gets in your eyes.
Oh, God. All right. Yes, the platters. Yes, they're mercury period. They're hits. All right, we'll play Smoke Gets in Your Eyes just for you, Elizabeth.
Okay.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Riley. Bye.
Okay. So, yes, smoke gets everywhere. So, 888-876-5593. And if you know about other possibilities of watching the race, well, let me know, because I only know what an internet search will quickly tell me, which isn't very much. All right, John is in Covington, Kentucky. John, did you hear your Etta James last night?
I didn't ask for one, Riley.
I'm sorry, you didn't. I thought you were John in Waukegan. All right, sorry about
that. You got the wrong John.
I got the wrong John. Well, you didn't ask for one. You probably didn't hear one either. Yeah, that's right.
More Johns in a whorehouse.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, John. All right, so, yes.
Okay, so I told John, and I'll tell you, of course, guess what came today? My Sea Crane radio came today.
All right, tell me about
it. I'm very excited.
Which one did you get?
I'm not sure, because, like I say, I have a hard time seeing, but I've been monkeying with it since about 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, it does have an antenna that you pull out, you know.
Right.
And I understand it's got, but it doesn't have a crank, or it doesn't have the crank, and it doesn't have a light.
Okay.
So my wife said one crank in the house
is enough. There you are. So you're not sure what model you ordered. That's fascinating.
Well, I could go look. That's in the other room. Let's see here. It's a EE. Is it EE? Is that possible?
I don't know.
Okay. All I know is what it cost, and it was like, well, you don't really spend too much money on things. Go for it.
Okay.
Can I tell you how much it was? I don't want to dissuade anybody from buying it.
Sure.
It's $179.
Okay, you got the CC Radio 2E Enhanced.
That's it.
Yeah, I know this stuff. That's a nice radio.
Yes, it is.
I have one by my side of the bed. I think you will like that radio a lot.
Yeah, and not only that, it's not all that heavy. Like, if I wanted to take it to, let's say, my son's house or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I move them around. It's not a problem. Very portable that way. And, of course, it has that built-in twin-coil ferrite. So AM is going to be better with that than anything else.
But I thought, since it had, like, the two antennas built in, I was surprised when I lifted the... It had one, you know, you could lift up.
That's strictly for FM.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, that has nothing at all to do with AM. So,
well, thanks for that. Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah. So, on to the Dixie Cup. cups. Okay, I gotta ask you.
All right, well, I'm going to be breaking for the news, but what's your favorite Dixie cup so we can play it and then go into your question?
Actually, it's kind of crazy when it's called Ico.
Oh, of course. That's a big hit. Absolutely. All right, hang on. Ico's coming up next, and the news is coming up now right here on WGN Radio.
My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, Ico, Ande, Giacomo Fino, Anane, Giacomo Finane. Look at my king all dressed in red, Ico, Ande. I bet you $5 he'll kill you dead. Chug a movie, not me. Talking about hey now. Ico, one day. Chug a movie, no, I'm not me. Chug a movie, not me. My flag boy and your flag boy sitting by the fire. My flag boy to your flag boy, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. Talking about hey now, Ico, one day. Shagamo Fino, I'm not me. Shagamo Finani. See that guy all dressed in green, Ico, one day. He's not a man, he's a loving machine. Shagamo Finani. Talking about
hey now, Ico, one day. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That is the Dixie Cups, Ico. And if you've ever been to Mardi Gras, you've heard that. Anybody who's ever been to Mardi Gras has heard that. And that's sort of where the trouble started. All right, so here was the deal. The Dixie Cups, who were three girls, had just finished recording Chapel of Love at Redbird Records, you know, Lieber and Stoller's studio in New York. And they didn't realize a tape was running. They had time to kill, and they were just taking drumsticks and beating on ashtrays and doing Ico, which, as I say, you can't spend any time without, in Mardi Gras without two songs. One is Ico, and the other one, you know, of course, is Ooh Papa Doo, which both of those are huge. But here's the problem. It sort of became a hit. And the problem is there was a writer. This wasn't public domain, and it wasn't Ico either. It was actually a song that Sugar Boy Crawford had written in 1953, and it was called Giacomo.
Ico, Hande, Giacomo Filo Handande, Giacomo Finane. Oh, my spy boy met your spy boy sitting by the bio. My spy boy, I told your spy boy, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. Talking about hey now, Ico, Hande, Giacomo Filo Handande.
And you know about Mardi Gras with all the crews. Well, there was a battle of the crews on Fat Tuesday and all that, and when a couple of the Indian crews went into quote-unquote war, that was the battle cry, Giacomo! And hence Sugar Boy Crawford wrote it and, of course, recorded it to absolutely no sales. His mother might have bought it. But other than that, the Dixie Cups came out with Ico. So that's the story of that. Now, I don't know if that has anything to do with what John wants to ask, but he wants to talk about the Dixie Cups. So let's go for it.
Hi, Raleigh.
Yes.
So here's the thing. I accidentally asked my... Oh, I can't say Alexa, she'll come on. I asked my device for a little help. So I accidentally asked for the live Dixie Cups, and I wanted to, greatest hits or whatever, regular recording, not live music. Mm-hmm. Well, I was glad I hit the live music, got the live music, mm-hmm. because... they did two songs, and that's all. But one of them was Ico, and the lead singer, I guess, she explains that it's an Indian song and a Mardi Gras song.
Yeah, well, that's the deal. It's all from Mardi Gras, and in the warring, right before the warring, there's a collision at the parade, and they're trying to set the flag on fire. The flag on fire. So those are chants, and you hear those chants as the crews go marching.
I think the couple of things. What I'm impressed with the most is it's strictly percussion.
Of course,
you know.
Well,
yeah, that makes it so neat.
In the Dixie Cups version, they didn't know they were cutting a record. You see, they didn't know this was being recorded. They were just goofing around in the studio after one take, waiting, you know, to do the next thing, and they were just sitting there, and Lieber and Stoller heard it and said, "Oh, we got something here."
Okay, so now get this now. So what year was that a hit?
Oh, gosh, 67? 65.
Okay. All right.
65.
So I'm in the second grade, okay? Uh-huh. And there's these eighth grade girls, you know, and a couple of them live directly across the street from me. Mm. Well, there was like eight of them, okay? And here's what they were singing this song, and they would sing it in the schoolyard as well. They would rehearse it, you know, on my street, but they would sing it. It's in a schoolyard, and of all things they would use for instruments for percussion, the Scrabble game, they would use the rack that you put the letters on
okay.
for percussion.
Good enough.
Yeah, it sounded great.
Sure.
Anyway, we have very strict nuns at the grade school. I mean very strict, and they made them kind of yelled at them, and, you know, it might be the devil and this and that, and not to do it on school grounds anymore and that. And I'm thinking to myself, Jesus, we're just trying to have some fun, you
right,
know?
Right.
Okay, so it just seemed to me when that song was popular, it wasn't popular long.
Nationally, that's true, but again, this is an anthem in New Orleans. So everybody knows this, you know, and again, the lyrics, if you see the crews, and by the way, crews in New Orleans are a social pecking order. Which crew you're in really determines the parties you're going to be invited to all years. And, you know, like Endymion's one of the crews. I had a friend who used to be head of that. And it was a big, big thing. And of course, when you listen to the lyrics, it's all the lyrics of the, you know, the play stuff in the crew. And like, look at my king all dressed in red. You know, I bet you $5 he'll kill you dead. You know, and
I think that's what got the nuns.
Well, no, I know the line that got the nuns. See that guy all dressed in green? He's not a man. He's a loving machine.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what got the nuns. I got that.
What else did I want to tell you? It was real quick here. Oh. So years go by. I mean, years go by. And my nephew, he's 7 years old. Well, those girls gave me an idea because we start getting into baseball, him and I. And so it's he got the Scrabble game for Christmas, and he also got a tape recorder. So we did our own ball game, and a base hit, we would slap them woods together.
Oh, sure. Perfect.
It was perfect. Sounds perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, the other big Mardi Gras song, it was Ooh Poo Pa Doo. Now, do you know that one?
No.
Oh, man, that's Jesse Hill. You got to hear a little of this, because, again, can't go to Mardi Gras without singing Ooh Poo Pa Doo.
Well,
I love the backbeat, but also I won't stop trying till I create disturbance in your mind.
I like it a lot, but the introduction, that would scare a little kid, I would think.
Well, that introduction, again, is the call and response of the chants at Mardi Gras.
Oh, well, there you go.
You know, yo, well, yo, yo. Yeah, I mean, that's the way it would be screamed.
Well, I thank you for your time.
All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
So, 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Yeah, I love being in New Orleans, but I'll tell you, the weather, that was what did it for me. It's not humidity, it's liquid air. It's unbelievable. You know, you'd land at Moisant Field, you wouldn't even be walking down the steps, or now it's not steps anymore, but man, that humidity would get you, and it wouldn't matter when it was either. I think they have two good days a year without that level of humidity, but that was enough for me. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. We've got Leah and Don and Sherry and Bonnie and Karen, and one line available for you on WGN Radio.
I don't like snails or toads or frogs or strange things living under.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and well, that was Bob from Lockport who said, "Would you play this for me?" Oh, I guess. 1966 on Columbia. She was from Philadelphia. No relationship to Lou Christie, though I've heard people say that. He was from Pittsburgh. All right, so Susan was kind of a flash in the pan on the folk scene for a while, and actually, after I Love Onions, had a psychedelic folk album, Pain a Lady. You don't want to hear it, though. Those who were critics said it was just wonderful. Well, I missed it. So, 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And so Karen's asking a question, and John said, well, go to Karen because other people are probably asking this too. All right, so Karen, what's up?
Hi. Yeah, you know, you were talking about people asking the advice in the A&I chat boxes.
Okay.
I don't understand what does that mean, like Alexa or Siri?
No. Firstly, they're not chat boxes; they're chat bots. BOTS.
Oh.
And anytime,
okay.
That's all right. Anytime you see, it's probably my pronunciation, but anytime you see the word BOTS, bots, or BOT in computer talk, it's usually short for robot. You know, it's a robotic, it's
that's
an automated
thing.
Kind of,
now right. That I understand
yeah,
what
so,
the word is,
all right.
now I can't. But I don't
yeah,
know
I'm gonna,
how
I'm gonna tell you
talk to
yeah.
them or how
I'm
that
gonna tell
happens.
You. They're chat bots are not necessarily AI. In other words, all AI chatbots are chatbots, but not all chatbots are AI. Now, so you're saying, what's the difference? Well, when you're talking about a traditional chatbot, it's rule-based, so it's very much a deductive logic form of identifier that's using certain language keys and resulting with pre-written responses. They're not conversational. The thing about artificial intelligence is it's conversational, so it has a different type of processing, NLP, natural language processing, that it can understand a customer's question. Now, some people will say that this is inductive logic as opposed to deductive logic. Well, thank God it's really not. It's still all a form of deductive logic, but it's a much broader form of deductive logic.
That's like Siri or Alexa?
No. Siri and Alexa are just command base. You'll say, Cheery, find me WGN, and it will. No, a chat bot can actually write the article, you know, with AI, can actually write the article on Madonna's bacterial infection. You know, in other words, it's going to be able. So in a situation where it's going to be an AI chat bot, you would go ahead and say, I want to go out with Henry Friday, but I don't really know how to ask him what movie he likes. I mean, can't imagine it. But then,
how would I encounter this chat bot?
Yeah, oh, online. They're all over the place. Huh. Last year, a company released ChatGPT, and that is that unleashed just a flood of them. So now there's a lot of uses, and again, the professional world uses them a lot. One in three Americans are using AI at work pretty much every day. It can be whether it's answering random questions or help in writing a letter. And you know, we've done segments on this that are just hilarious. You can fool AI into writing some of the most insane things. And I wish I knew what day we did that show, because those things were hilarious. Because, for instance, college students might ask AI to write an essay, and they might have 4 points that need to be included. And so, you know, one of them said, well, write an essay on why eating glass is good for you. And the first response was, it's not good for you. And they said, no, well, I want you to write it from the standpoint of it is good for you. And I'd like you to raise nutrition and fiber and all this other stuff. And then AI came.
I think I heard that.
Remember that? Yeah. Well, that is AI.
How did they contact these things?
Oh, well, online, on websites, there's a ton of them.
I'm really stupid when it comes to you just, like, would know what you want. They all have names, or how do you know?
Well, there's, Relationship Hero, live chat. This says it's help from experts. Well, I don't know. You know, you can find them where it's, you can find one. Relationship AI coach and advice. Here we go. Chat with an AI relationship. Oh, God, they want me to chat. Yes. Hi.
Oh, thank you.
Hi. It's your AI relationship coach that can give you advice without judgment and help reply to texts. Who am I speaking to? This will be your username. We'll put in Karen. All right. You're speaking to Karen.
Okay.
All right. Now, what is your favorite color? This is going to be a password.
Oh,
purple. Your favorite color is purple.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
now,
purple.
What relationship should we talk about? My dog. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's see. Do you want some advice, help replying to a message, or start a live chat session with our AI counselor? And so we can just have suggest reply, advice, or if I chat, I have to sign up. So let's just go with advice. All right. What's your objective with them? I to be in a relationship, get them to like me, get along better, treat me better, make plans with them. What's the relationship with the dog? We'd like it to fetch a ball. Okay, to fetch a ball. Now I have no idea what's going to happen here. Well, okay, so let's see. Finally, give me any more context on your relationship. The more detailed you are, the more personalized my advice will be. The dog likes to eat.
Okay.
But
doesn't help me across the street.
But doesn't.
I had a guide dog. I wonder what it would do.
Help me, but doesn't always help me across the street.
My guide dog did.
Yeah, well, this one doesn't, but it likes to eat. All right,
okay.
So now let's see. So we're saying my dog likes to eat, but doesn't always help me walk across the street. All right, so that's what we've put. Now it's gonna come up with an answer. Right now it seems to be somewhat okay. So how can I get it to fetch the ball? Okay. All right. My advice is to start by teaching your dog basic commands such as sit and stay. Once they understand these, you can move on to more complex tasks like fetching a ball. Start with something small that the dog can easily grab in its mouth, like a tennis ball or a toy. Show them how it works by throwing the object and then rewarding them when they bring it back. I thought they wanted you to go get it.
Oh, wow. As their
skills improve, increase the distance of throws so that eventually they will be able to retrieve objects from across the street without needing help crossing over the street. What do you want to do next? All right, so that you see how they work.
That's incredible. Hmm. Oh, I wanted to tell you, I like that song. I never knew the name of that, Eichel Eichel.
Oh, yeah.
I never knew what that was, and I've always liked it. Now, God, I can write it down and ask Alexa to play it.
Yeah, Giacomo.
What was the second one?
Giacomo, JOCK-A-MO, Sugar Boy Crawford. And then the other one I played was Ooh Pooh Padoo by Jesse Hill.
Yeah, that was the one that, now the first one, I liked the Dixie Cup.
Yeah, well, that's just Iko Iko.
Oh.
Yeah, Iko Iko.
Okay, it's that just is Iko, really Iko. Cool. I've always liked that song, but never knew what it was.
Yeah, well, it's a Mardi Gras chant.
Well, you learn something every day. Well, thank you so much.
All right, thanks for calling.
And
I appreciate
you have a
it.
Great night. I'm enjoying your show.
Good to talk to you. All right, so now here's the problem. I don't remember if I broke or not, so Adam will tell me. I'll just try to break, and if I'm right, he'll take it from there on WGN Radio. Adam says no break. I did it. Usually I forget. And so then we can talk for the next 2 minutes. And then, of course, we have 2 hours after that. So plenty to talk about. All right. So let's see. Leah's water broke. No, that can't be right. All right, Leah, what's up?
That's really funny.
Yes.
Our water heater.
Oh, I see. Water heater. All right, because I was going to say, I don't think she's pregnant. All right, your water heater broke. All right, so what exactly went wrong? Sounds like I'm the AI chatbot.
I'm sorry, that's really funny. Albert went into the laundry room last night because we've been having a deluge of rain.
Yes.
I mean, just horrible rain and wind last night
and
thunderstorms and hail and everything. Just like, end of the world kind of stuff, you know?
And
just crazy weather. And so Albert went in the laundry room last night to put the towels in the dryer. And he said, there's water on the floor.
Uh-oh.
And he said, I think it came in from the rain, from all the rain we've been having. And I said, oh, we'll mop it up. So we mopped it up. And a few hours later, he went in to get the towels so I could put them away. And he said, there's more water on the floor. And he said, I don't think it's from the rain.
Uh-huh.
And he checked, and it was from the hot water heater.
Uh-oh.
So it's like 15 years old or 20 years old. So he called the landlord, and the landlord said he'd be over today, and I should ask him for a tankless.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, well, I swear by them.
I know, and I said it's going to be so much cheaper for us, but I guess he didn't even ask. So
well, it's more expensive for him, you know, to put them in. But I've gone through two of them so far. I had a Rinnai at first, and I've got something else more super duper now that will heat the entire neighborhood with no problem.
They're wonderful, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. But
and your bill goes down a lot, doesn't it?
Who the hell knows? I got so much stuff running to parse my electric bill. And remember, I run radio stations, too. So, you know, my electric bill is going to be a couple grand a month. So I don't know about
your water bill.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. John says I'm out of time.
Okay.
Stay right where you are on WGN Radio. Mm-hmm.
Tip for tip, I'm going to pay you back. I've counted every tip, and if it takes all year, you won't get away. I'm gonna make you cry until your eyes run dry. I'm gonna make you pay, baby, tip for tip. Uh-huh.
life for life. I'm gonna pay you back. I've counted every lie and every alibi right up to this day. I'll make you laugh for life. I'll treat you true for true. It's gonna be an eye for eye. Three bells, two for two. I'm gonna make you cry until your eyes run dry. I'm gonna make you pay, baby, tear for tear.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Amanda's favorite revenge song. And so there we go. Tear for Tear was Gene, Duke of Earl Chandler. Yeah, that's the way BJ put it, because, of course, that's what he was so known for in 1962 when that came out. So Tear for Tear. All right, now we'll get back to Leah and her water in a moment. But I always defer to first-time callers, and David is one, and he's down south in Beecher, Illinois. So, David, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you for taking my call.
Glad you did. What's up?
When I was a teenager, young teenager, I can't remember the year, 63, 64, 65.
Okay.
I lived in Harvey, Illinois.
Okay.
And I went to the Harvey Theater Show. They used to have shows, movies, and all that stuff.
Right.
And the Dave Clark Five were there, and Art Roberts was the DJ.
Okay.
And I was just trying to find out for sure, because I went to Google. And they know, nothing on Harvey. They said, oh, they played the Harry Crown Theater and
right,
this and that.
Right, they did that in
64.
Yeah, nothing in the States before 64. That you can pretty much take to the bank. They didn't have any wherewithal to get here. But, like you say, you found the Harry Crown and then the next night Milwaukee and all of that. But and so you looked at 65. You looked at 65 as well, right? Just didn't see anything?
I just did Google. I said, you know, Dave Clark Five playing at Harvey, Illinois.
Okay, well, let's look at...
And that's all they showed.
Let me... and they were back at the Erie at the end of... the Erie at the end of 65. So, they were at the Miami Beach Convention Center, too. But let's see about earlier in 65 if I can come up with something else there. Baltimore, Boston, Chicago. No, a lot at the Erie Crown. June 27th, 65. They were there fairly regularly. Which is interesting. I'm surprised, that's the case. All right. So Art Roberts was the MC.
Yeah. He was disc jockey for WLS and TV at WLS
right.
Radio.
Right. Of course. Let's see. Let's see if we can find it. I don't, cause all I'm coming up with, like
I looked at Art Roberts too, and I couldn't find it.
Yeah. It's tough. And you know where it was. You remember the whole deal. So let's...
Right. I lived about 10 blocks from the place. I remember I walked down there, and I think I paid maybe as a dollar.
All right. Here we go. Now I'm going to be... I got to try to find a way to find it on this page I'm going to. So it's in that WLS personality album that they put out. You know, when they were doing those little magazines. So I'm looking... There'll be a picture from it. And this was volume one, number one, the 1967 edition. So I assume this is going to be 66. And Art Roberts, Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky, is featured on page 42. Let's see what it says. All right. So, all right. They were all the rage in the mid-60s, top 40 stations putting out these little magazines. Some of them were syndicated, like Go. But this one looks like it was an in-house deal. So let's find Art. Or lots of pictures. But even if I hold them up really close to the microphone, you won't see it. So that won't do you any good at all. So let's see.
As I recall, I think he's starting to bald or something.
Well, not in this picture. But anyway, let's see. This is work? All right. And here, the birds ask Sam the Sham is okay. So here we have an article about it, and I think he's in this. So, kid with a dream, we don't care about that. Went to Southeastern Louisiana College, I don't care about that. He worked in Tyler at KTBB, we don't care about that either. All right, so we'll just move on down to, let's get him to Chicago, for God's sakes. All right, all right, so.
Otherwise, I'm losing my mind
I know how you feel. He had five children, he got a kick out of horseback riding. Let's see, fine. Show me a picture. I've got them with Tommy Rowe and the Love and Spoon. Oh, I love this. The Love and Spoonfuls, plural. Okay. I think we've got Art's Biggest Fans. All right. Well, come on. Oh, I think this looks like the Dave Clark Five. That's Gary Lewis and the Playboys. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Let's see. We've got the TV show and Freddie Cannon. And this says I'm going to be hearing about the Dave Clark Five, and I don't see it so far. Now, I think what we're going to have to do is plead to all of Chicagoland to let us know who else went to that concert. Let me check one more year before we do anything else, because we looked at 65. Let's look at 66. There were much less in the way of U.S. concerts in 66, and let's see where they were. All right. Well, back at the Erie Crown again. God, they loved that location, didn't they? Cleveland, Milwaukee, Madison, Farmington, West Covina. No one goes to West Covina. All right, let's Johnstown, Pennsylvania, where they get lost. All right, well, it's not 66. 67, they had 29 concerts. I can't believe it was 67, but, you know, you just never know. So let's look at 67, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, Chattanooga, Tennessee. The venues are going down. Toledo, Owings Mill, Wallingford, Knoxville, Atlantic City, Berlin, Maryland, San Carlos, Bakersfield, Salem. The Civic Opera House, Chicago. Is that it?
Nope, it was Harvey, Illinois.
And I got.
And it was way before 67.
It was. You're sure?
Yes.
Okay.
I was. I don't think I was even. Let's see. Maybe I was just starting high school, but I remember right around there. Maybe a year later, my sister, went down to Chicago and saw the Beatles.
Yeah.
But it was right around that time, within a year or two, or whatever. I don't know. I can't remember if it was before or just, I thought it was before because, oh, yeah, she was, a big thing, Beatles. And but I always liked Dave Clark Five better.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. The Beatles had some good songs, but I mean, back then I loved the Dave Clark Five.
Yeah. Some good stuff. All right. So I'm still looking.
So I guess I'm losing my mind.
Well, not necessarily. More of your Dave Clark Five comments, and this is in a music fan magazine that mentions Dave Clark Five and Art Roberts in 65, but that doesn't, what's this? WLSDJ is May 16, 64. He plays one. I don't care. Don't play one. All right. I'll find this. I don't know how, but I will find this. So I am going to write this down, and this is my mission. And I know I'll probably find it and say it on a night when you're doing anything but listening to the radio, but at least I'll know. So when did the Dave Clark Five play Harvey? And every line's busy right now, but David, I think as time goes on and we have more free lines, maybe somebody will call in and tell us.
Okay.
All right.
Maybe if not, I'll call back in a couple months, maybe you'll.
Oh, by then I should know. Absolutely. All right. So they played Harvey.
All right.
By the way, was anybody else on the bill?
No, it was just Dave Clark Five.
Really?
And it was like I say, the movie theater and it's just a small stage, and they were up there, and I remember Art Roberts coming off to the side of the stage and walking, introduced them, and all that stuff.
Do you remember?
And I don't know if they played.
Do you remember the name of the movie theater?
The Harvey Movie Theater.
Oh, that's just what it's called, the Harvey? Okay.
Yes, Harvey Movie Theater.
Okay. We're going to find this one way or another.
It's long gone, but...
Well, yeah, one would expect. But we'll do our damnedest to find this. I would expect, what I'm also going to do, is go back and look at the old WLS surveys, because I would expect it might be on the back of one of them that week, because very often there'll be a picture of, like, Art Roberts with, you know, the Dave Clark Five or whatever. So we'll find it one way or another.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Sorry
appreciate
to put you
it.
All that work.
Oh, no. Well, you know, now I'm interested. All right. Thanks. So, people ask me, how do you know about all this stuff? Well, because I answer your questions. All right. So we'll find out. Now back to Leah and her water heater, which is not a tankless. But the next thing, if it's not going to be a tankless, is at least large. How many gallons?
Oh, I don't know. It's the same as the old one.
Oh.
Standard. I guess it's your standard.
Well, did you run out of hot water very often? in the past?
No.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't it wasn't a problem. And it won't be a problem now either.
Well, we can't take showers in the same day.
Well, that's running out of water.
Is that running out of water?
Hell yes. I mean, I expect to be able to take as many showers as I want all day.
Okay.
If you're saying you can't get two showers of it, it doesn't sound very big. But there's some...
Well, because I take a longer shower than he does.
Well, yeah, but I don't care. But here's what you can do. It will raise your bill a little bit, but you'll get a lot more hot water. And that's usually they're governed that you can't turn them up past 120 degrees. Well, the hell with that. I keep mine about 140.
Really?
Yeah. I like hot water. Obviously, I mix it with cold, but if you're not getting enough hot water, the next thing is to increase the temperature of the water.
Oh, okay.
But just remember that you've done that, so don't, you know, you'll turn into a damn lobster if you don't mix it with cold.
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
All right, but... so as long as you, and that's why they have those regulations, it's for anti-scald. But, you know, and then also part of this will depend on your shower valve, because some shower valves are anti-scald and they don't go beyond a certain temperature. I hate that.
Ours isn't. Okay.
Well, very good. Well, yeah, if you're not getting enough hot water, just increase the temperature. You'll get more showers.
Okay.
But it will raise your bill a bit.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I don't know. They charge us every 3 months, like not every month.
No, that's not bad. Yeah,
we get a bill every three months.
And you've got enough water there that you don't have the surcharges that the dry areas do, where, you know, you start at a level that's high enough that doesn't matter how much darn water you're using, you pretty much already paid for it.
Yeah, I mean, we were in a drought, but now after these torrential rains we've been having, I don't think we are anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not in a drought the way you guys are, anyway.
Well, and this year we're not. Our water has been at 106% at the reservoir near Globe, and it's interesting because it dislodged the rattlesnakes.
What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is they were all over the place. So, in other words, when you got too much water, you're dislodging some wildlife that can be a problem.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So,
yeah, you have to deal with snakes out there, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I actually like snakes, but
you wouldn't like
not the poisonous ones.
Yeah, you wouldn't like rattlers. You usually hear them before you see them. But, you know, snakes, very few people that I know have ever been bitten by a snake, but just about everybody I know has been bitten by a scorpion.
I've been kissed by a snake.
That's nice. And when you're bitten by a, I'm just passing right along. When you're bitten by a scorpion, the first time you usually do wind up in the emergency room. But then after that, it theoretically can kill you.
I would say every time, wouldn't it be? Aren't they poisonous?
Yeah, but you don't. After you know, because they can't really do anything for you. Like the first time John was bitten, man, did he make it to the emergency room. And the second time it was like another damn scorpion. And, you know, he just...
But don't you die?
No, you don't. Normally you don't die. It's possible, but it's very unlikely. You're gonna have to be very immune, and that's most poisonous snakes too. You got to be very immune compromised, or very young, or very old. You know, things like that will make you immune compromised. But for the most part, no, you're not gonna die. You're just gonna be plumb miserable.
Oh, okay. Because you always see on TV, if it's a snake bite, you have to rush them to the hospital, and they have to get the anti-venom and everything. And
depends on the snake, depends on the bite. There's many things available, you know, and the anti-venom may be a good idea in some use, but not all the time. But I don't think the percentage of death is very high.
Really?
Yeah.
Talking to me.
And again, it depends on the snake. I think with scorpions, it's like 20% in babies and 10% in young children, and then 1% in adults.
So,
really? Yeah. So 1% of people are going to die from a scorpion bite. But with snakes, it depends on what kind of snake.
Okay.
You know. Because the venom's
like
different.
Like a king cobra would be deadly, right?
Well, let's find out. Percentage of people who die from king cobra. I don't know anybody who's bitten by one, so let's find out.
Because they're probably dead.
Well, no, it's because the king cobra rarely bites human beings. And so only four people have died of that are known of king cobra bites. But the venom in a bite can kill, is enough venom to kill 20 people. But they're not attacking humans for the most part. So I think it was the last figures that I saw here, four people in India have died over king cobra. But, you know, probably a few in the United States. But most snake bites, even a king cobra bite, is not going to be fatal, but it is a medical emergency as far as that goes. You want to do that. But I would.
And rattlers too?
Yeah, it's a medical emergency. And you're not, and here you're not allowed to kill them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you have to call the snake removal.
Really?
Yeah, and they come and remove your snake.
Well, why is that?
Well, because they're protected somehow. We used to kill them in San Diego. I'd get them there quite a bit where we lived north of San Diego, and that was not a problem. But in Arizona, you better not kill those puppies, you know. So.
How bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, when you ask about fatality, you got a couple things in mind, and I'd have to probably research this. But what you really want to know is what's the fatality rate if you're untreated completely? And then what's the percentage that are going to get bitten anyway? You know, there's a number of ways to look at it. So I think there is the most venomous snake in the world is something in Australia.
They have. I saw a special once with Steve Irwin before he passed. Okay. And he said that Australia has the world's top 10 most poisonous snakes.
And what makes them more poisonous is the potency of the venom.
Right.
You know,
right.
How much is coming out in a single bite? Like with king cobra, it can be 500 milligrams of venom. So, you know, it can. But, so there
you go. And one of them is a water snake that lives in the ocean.
I would, and some water snakes, they're going to be near water, that's right, but not necessarily just the ocean. But here's the deal. Of the things that you should worry about, this is very, very low on your list.
No, I know.
Most water snakes, if not all, they're not poisonous, but they're.
No, I worry about sharks far more.
Sharks, right?
In downtown, getting into the ocean.
In downtown Philadelphia, sharks. All right. Well.
No, I'm not in downtown Philadelphia, but we have friends at the Jersey Shore, and they're always wanting us to come down. And, you know, I'm just like, why? I don't like sand. I don't go in the ocean. I don't. You know,
and why do you want to go to a state with an exit fee? They charge you to leave New Jersey.
I know. Yes. Why?
I know. Who would stay? They even charge you to leave by water. You know, your friends on the shore will tell you it's not free. So, all right.
I know.
Well, it's good to talk to you as always. Good luck with that water heater. Turn up the temperature. Let me know how it goes.
Okay, thanks, Raleigh.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Appreciate it. So, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and by the way, Bob in Arlington, I think, knows about that Dave Clark concert, so we'll find out about that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Someday, baby, gonna hitch on you, and together we will live life through. But in the meantime, on such a lean time, booty, you'll have a hard time, because I want. This way, that's why I gotta change my style. You say, give up my gals of wine. So you can see, I'm gonna need some loving in the meantime. I'm gonna need some catching in the meantime. I'm gonna be a meantime man. Oh, pretty baby, I've always been like this now. No one can change me. But if you love me, some loving in the meantime. I'm gonna need some catching in the meantime. I'm gonna be a meantime man.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Georgie Fame. Yeah, indeed. Imperial 1965. In the meantime. And George turned 80 Monday. So happy birthday to Georgie Fame. And the Blue Flames on that. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And this is interesting because I'm seeing what Bob in Arlington is saying, and I should have thought of this. So, Bob, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, good evening. And I don't remember Dave Clark Five playing at the theaters, but I do remember like it was yesterday. The summer, I believe it was the summer of 65,
yep.
They put out a movie called Catch Us If You Can.
No, not in America. Also, yeah, in America, Having a Wild...
Having a Wild Weekend.
That's right.
And they did this whirlwind tour where they would drop them off. The bus would come up, because we went to see them at the Gateway Theater on the northwest side of the city, Milwaukee and Lawrence.
Yeah.
And there were like, I don't know, probably 1,000 people there, maybe more than that. I was only 16 at the time.
Okay.
But they were there, but they didn't play. They were just there to promo the movie. And there were, you know, Art Roberts was there and some of the other people from WLS. I don't think Clark Weber was there, but maybe Gene Taylor and some of the other people from the Silver Dollar Survey.
Right.
But it was a big thing because later that summer, August 20th, the Beatles appeared at Comiskey Park.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was all that summer of 65. So I don't, maybe they did in heart, you know, back in 65, I couldn't have found Harvey on a map. But,
right.
You know,
right.
But
no,
I do remember like it was, you know, like it was yesterday, standing in line to see them. And, you know, it was cool, but I would have much rather seen them play.
No, you're 100% right. The film did do a tour with them, and I think the first one was in Paterson, New Jersey, and they got mobbed. They'd go around and they'd do various theaters, and they would tie in with radio. I should have thought of that, because yes, Having a Wild Weekend, which everybody thinks of it as Catch Us If You Can, and that was the title in the UK and in other places, but here it was Having a Wild Weekend, and they did. It was Warner Brothers who was the distributor stateside, and they did send those guys everywhere. So I think you've hit the nail on the head that what David saw was the movie and maybe the Dave Clark Five, but not the Dave Clark Five actually performing, because I don't think they performed at any of those gigs.
Well, I think you're right, but we love your show, and it truly is Monday through Thursday, the definition of eclectic. I mean, you just, if you can't find something interesting one of the four nights, then you need to broaden your horizons.
Or call in and suggest something yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for calling, Bob.
Keep an eye on.
Thank you. Appreciate this. All right, David. Thanks. So there you go. Bob is the king tonight. That's for darn sure. It's the movie, and I should have thought of that. And unlike the Hard Day's Night movie that was out, the black and white thing that was out a year before and went to all the theaters, the Beatles movie, the Beatles didn't come to see it or whatever. And the Beatles, of course, sort of played themselves in that. Where in this Dave Clark Five in Having a Wild Weekend, they didn't. There was a supposed theme. And they appeared as freelance stuntmen. All right. And I think Dave Clark played the leader of the stuntmen, some guy named Steve. And so that was interesting. And, you know, the other four had pretty much minor parts, but nonetheless, it had some of their music and all that kind of stuff. And Catch Us If You Can. But Having a Wild Weekend. And I'll just bet. So if David is still listening, I think that we found it, and it would be at the Harvey Theater. It absolutely would have. And it's an insipid movie, but it's also kind of a fun movie. So if you haven't seen Having a Wild Weekend, I'm sure it's free on some TV channel near you, or maybe on YouTube for all I know. All right, so 888-876-5593. Mystery solved. Thank you. Thank you to Bob. Bob's our hero tonight in Arlington. He's absolutely right. Yeah, see, I don't have to work very hard at all for that. So, we got Sherry in Naperville. What's happening tonight, Sherry?
Oh, hi, hold on.
You're supposed to be ready.
I've been ready for 1 hour, 24 minutes, and 22 seconds.
Okay, well, hang on another couple seconds because David's calling back and I want to find out if it's the right movie. So, or I'll wonder. So, stay where you are, and let's find out if David. So, David, do you think that's it?
No, they did play the music. There was no movie when I saw it.
You're sure there was
they
no
were
movie?
There and they played the music. They were all set up for the drums and guitars and everything.
No
and
movie.
And they played a couple songs.
Oh, man.
No movie.
Wow. See, I was sure we had it. Now, you say a couple songs.
Yeah, it is so. Close.
Yeah. Yes.
They played a couple songs.
Well.
And the thing was, it's so crazy. It only cost me, I don't think, back then, because I didn't have much money. I don't know. It even cost me a dollar.
Wow.
To see them.
Well, so the story
because
continues.
You go see a show there is 25 cents.
Yeah.
Unless it's Disney or Elvis, and that was 35 cents, you know, but I think it was like under, maybe it was a dollar, but that. But I remember they played some music.
Well, then the hunt goes on, but I have a feeling there might be a connection to this tour with the movie, because that wouldn't be showing up on all the sites where you're seeing when they toured America. That would be a different thing. I wouldn't be surprised if it's somehow right. loosely connected, because it was a movie theater, and that tour to promote that movie was Warner Brothers. So, interesting. Well, we'll continue. Maybe right. somebody else who's been there can say, yeah, they played. We'll keep looking.
All right, thank
all right,
you.
Thanks, appreciate it. All right, so, oh, my bubble has burst. I was sure we had it. All right, now back to Sherry in Naperville, who is still ready.
Yeah, I'm ready, but don't you have to do a break? It's 1:44 or 1:44.
I have to do it before the top of the hour, yes, I do. But thank you for wondering.
Well, so I wanted to talk about the ChatGPT thing.
Yeah.
Talking about. And then was it Carol that asked about it and you went on some site?
Karen, yes.
Karen. Sorry.
Yes.
Where did you go?
Oh, who the hell knows? Let me
use it for free.
Yeah, I'll look again. Let's see what site that was. Yeah, well, we talked about Karen and her dog.
The other lady after her.
No, we did the chat about her. We're not talking about Mr. Chubbs. We're talking about Karen.
Yeah.
I searched for her relationship with her dog, you see.
That's right.
Yes, relationship AI coach advice. All right, so let's see. Here, what's this
one? Oh, so
saying?
That wasn't a GPT site.
Yeah, well, it is, actually. Text me, TextMei.com. And then I selected from there relationship-AI.
Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah. And so it is an AI relationship coach. So if you go to textmei.com/relationship-AI.
Oh, no, that's not what I want. I don't want the relationship stuff.
Well, well, you can get on.
I just wanted to know what.
Oh, then just go to textme, you know, mei.com.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Sure.
Regarding the whole GPT thing, I know OpenAI, I think, started it. And then Google is also playing with it, and then their stock price surged. And Microsoft Bing, integrated it into their own system. Both of them, I think, have to use OpenAI to integrate it or whatever. But it's still pretty much in its...
of course it is. And right. And some of the things you get, that's what we're doing with the... article, are not necessarily anything you'd want, but the idea of a chat bot that was developed in the 60s at MIT, that was Eliza. Then by 2009, China had some WeChat in China was more advanced. So it's been going on for chat bots, have been going on for quite a while.
This is more like a search engine answer questions, because it'll search all kinds of things really, really, really quick.
Well,
like Landecker.
Yeah, of course. That's a tradition. Okay. That's a traditional chat bot that wouldn't be AI.
Well, he did the chat GPT thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, to write on, he was on Limericks one day, and I think wrote another poem. But apparently you can write songs, even with the music, cool notes, and... in the attorney, hold on.
Bless you.
No, that was a class. Yesterday was really horrid. Today it seems like it's clearing up a bit. But, as far as the air and the sky. like paralegals, they might lose what they usually do looking up things on case studies and this, that, and the other,
right,
because this goes so fast.
Well, again, what you're talking about in terms of that type of usage doesn't require AI. That's traditional, searching, if you will. And yes, it's faster and better than ever. The AI component changes the scheme quite a bit, and that's really only been in the last couple of years. And it's generating conversation and things of that nature, which is a little different. But yes, as far as deductive logic, yeah, you can find that stuff. And as far as, by the way, paralegals and stuff like that, they're not searching the internet the way you and I are. They're looking at LexisNexis.
No, they use LexisNexis.
Right, exactly. And it's all there. It doesn't, you know, a monkey can use LexisNexis. You just have to pay every month.
Right. But here, hand me the... Oh, you can't. Sorry, David just walked in from the store. Oh, yeah, you can. Thank you. What else is it going to say? And even a guy, I think Lisa Dante is on for like tech. He's a tech writer. And she asked him about, what about your job? Do you think it's going to infiltrate and everything? And that's what the writer's strike is about, too. And he said he sees it coming down the road, kind of thing. But yeah, they were also talking about AI will come up with stuff, hallucinations are calling.
Yeah,
it?
No, of course. But, and that's what we have fun with that. We've talked a lot about that. Yeah.
Okay. And then, but I did want to mention, because I have a cousin who's really smart, and a first cousin, not Jimmy, Brad, and he's a lot younger than me, but he would do a lot of testing when he was younger, like high school and stuff, and shortly after high school, he would do a lot of beta testing. So, for a company here. And at any rate, what was it? Mother's Day, because my brother flew in from California with his wife. And he was talking about ChatGPT. He was so excited about it.
Yeah.
Because where he works now, he does a lot of programming type things, and everybody uses Excel, whether you're programming hard code or not, for spreadsheets and stuff. And he had to merge. He had to write some code and merge two different programs, maintenance type things.
Yeah.
So he put in, he used his cell phone and he put in all the parameters or whatever. It was a very short sentence.
Sure.
Said, what'd you ask? He said it came back with, and he told me it was very simple, whatever he asked. And then he said it came back. He said it would have taken me 3 hours to write this piece of code. He said it came back, and I triple checked it, and everything was perfect. So, and I did not realize, from all of the stuff people were talking about, writing songs, writing poems, blah blah blah, that and that it could be that specific.
Oh, sure it can.
That's what
That's what generative AI is. And so, yeah, okay, just like it can create specific content, it absolutely can generate code. And yes, it's a work in progress, but chatbots prior to last year really were conversational more than anything, even those that...
I was so impressed. I was so impressed when he told me that.
Right.
And he said he even signed up. There's like a, a service where you just get whatever you get, and then there's a more in-depth service. So he subscribed to that.
Yeah. Well, that's what the generative portion of what makes ChatGPT different. And you now have gotten to the point where, yes, I am going to do that break you mentioned.
Okay, and I have one other comment to make about it, but I can do it in 30 seconds. No?
Okay, 30 seconds, you bet.
Okay, so I saw him again on after he told me that, and then, you talked about Scotty, and then I talked about listening to your podcast or whatever you call them, and I asked him, I said, I have a question for you. I saw him on Memorial Day weekend, and I said, can it listen for me and look for keywords? Like
absolutely. Absolutely.
No, it cannot. It cannot yet.
Oh, I would think
cannot
that...
listen.
That's interesting. It can read. Yeah, I would think that it soon will get to the point where it can. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks
right.
a lot. All right.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Keywords are the basis of this. So I'm surprised that we haven't gotten to listening yet. I'm going to check that out. Interesting. Glad Sherry called. We got Don, we got Bonnie, we got Eduardo, and we got room for you too coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So I was just looking at it, and AI will get to the point that it'll have no trouble with listening. But right now, there is a dearth of expertise or resources, really, to base that upon. But they'll get there. They've been working on it. All right. So we got Bonnie, and she is in Butternut Falls. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Bonnie, are you still with us? We lost Bonnie. Bonnie was waiting, I think, darn near an hour. So she was a real trooper, but she's out of the picture now. And you know, we got another hour of this, so you can call back. And hopefully Bonnie will, or better yet, you will. So 888-876-5593. Let's see if Don and Beloit is still hanging in there. Are you there, Don?
Hey, of course I am, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. How are you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
Okay, good. I'm in a car, as I usually am, listening to the radio, because I'm often on a job site or something, and it's just easier.
Mm-hmm.
But I think of some years, I mean, you know, I'm just going to kind of jump around a couple of things, but, you know, your AI, I think some years ago, they would just give some machine the California bar exam, and it supposedly could pass, like, a bar exam with... You know, that's really remarkable if that's true, but that's quite a story. Things like that have been happening.
Oh, absolutely. It's really the difference between the rules, quote-unquote rules, and deductive logic is pretty much native to computer programming and can easily be done. When you're trying to generate language and things like that, it becomes a bit harder. But even, as I say, with conversational, they're working on that, and they will get there. Now, thank God, even though people talk about artificial intelligence and kind of equate that to being inductive logic, it really is not inductive logic. I'd be scared witless if it was truly inductive logic, but it's not. It's a different form of NLP generating code, and it's fascinating.
Right. Well, I just about jumped out of my car seat when I heard you play the I Love Onions. That, what was the name of that Philadelphia woman that sang that?
Oh, that's Susan Christie.
Susan Christie. Okay. Well, me and my brother, just a couple years later, I'm sure you remember this, but I'm writing this down in my notebook. Do you remember a few years later it started? These were just a hoot, those ads that with the same music, but they changed the words a couple of words. But they remember the I Love Turtles ads on TV?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Those were the Platinum Blonde singing with this Art Deco set. Oh, my God. Those were so funny.
Oh, yeah. No, that's just manna from heaven for writers because, of course, you want people to use any of your work in a commercial. That's where the money is.
I think you should play one of those ads. But I would say those were started maybe in 1970, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know if I can find
them. Oh, my goodness. Those were funny. I don't know. If you can find one of those, I think people would love to hear that.
Yeah, and I don't know if I can because I'm trying to think of the specific product. That's the way I would find it.
The turtle. It was the turtles. Those chocolate.
Yeah, right. What was
candies.
That? Was that Russell Stover? I don't remember. I'll look. I'll see what I can find.
I can't remember either, but it might have been. But yeah, instead of I Love Onions, it's I Love Turtles. And oh my God. We didn't care that much for the candy. It was like we wanted to watch the ad. It was just so funny.
Yeah.
I was like, 8 years old or something.
No, well, I'm sure that John Hill, a co-writer, probably was thrilled about that, and Don Cochran, he was the other co-writer. And so I'll look for that. I'll look for that during the news. It'll give me a good use of my time.
You're absolutely right that certain types of users benefit greatly from tankless water heaters. It's for certain people like. Let's say you had a cabin in the woods.
Hang on a minute.
That cabin once a month.
Don't go away. I'm leaving you in the woods for a moment. Stay right where you are. We'll hear the news, and we'll come right back from the woods right here on WGN Radio.
Yeah.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And that's Brenda Holloway. And that was not released. It was recorded in 1965, slated to be released, and then a lot of things were going on. In fact, Brenda Holloway was on tour with the Beatles, and it looked like all sorts of things. And for some reason, it was slated to be on Tamla. It was recorded, and Berry Gordy pulled it. And as I listen to that, I think to myself, wait a minute, I know this has come out on CD since then. Yeah, why don't I get a CD and get a good copy of that? Because the one you heard came from an old early Norelco cassette. Yeah, somebody had smuggled it in L.A. and said, this is really good. And it was. I just adored it. But the quality was not good, to say the least. But nonetheless, and I'm sure Kent or somebody put it on a CD. But in 1965, they didn't release it. And I played Brenda Holloway because she turned 77 on Monday. Yeah, and is still with us. All right, so now, here is the deal. The Susan Christie record. We'll get back to Don and Beloit in a minute. But the Susan Christie record, I Love Onions. Firstly, it apparently had been used in commercials before Turtles. It was used for Funyuns, but I couldn't find that. However, in Canada, Nestle released the Turtles under Turtles, you know, confectionery, under the brand Smiles and Chuckles. And there were like 10 different confectionery kind of flavors, and one of them was the Turtles. And you could go ahead and buy them, of course, and enjoy them and all those things you would expect, like you could do stateside. But it did come with a commercial. And I can't show you the video portion of it, no matter how hard you look into your speaker. Nothing's going to come out that looks like a picture. But I can give you the sound.
I love pecans and caramel, too. I love chocolate. Oh, yes, I do. That's why I love turtles.
Turtles, turtles, rah-rah-rah. Turtles, turtles, ha-ha-ha.
Scrumptious pecans smothered in creamy caramel, drenched in deep, delicious chocolate.
I love turtles.
Get yours today.
Yeah, get yours, all right. All right, so we're back to Don and Beloit. There you go, Don.
Thank you so much for letting me relive my childhood once again, as usual.
Oh, sure.
Gosh, thank you so much. And I lived, as I said before, on the Niagara Frontier, right on the border with Ontario. And
that's probably where you heard the commercial. That's probably on.
Yep, because we had all the great Canadian stations, all the great radio stations, and the French Canadian TV and radio stations as well.
Because it did not appear stateside.
Okay, so that's quite an interesting research you just did, because I forgot about that. Canadians, of course, are obsessed with chocolates and candies and stuff differently.
Yeah.
That's great. Great commercial, by the way, for those who couldn't watch it.
Prepubescent,
you know, Don from Beloit at age 8 or 9, my three brothers. We just got a kick out of that.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And she, I forget her name, Dom, I think was her last name. I'm trying to think of the lady who they used, but she was well known, actually, for things other than the Turtles commercial. Gail Dom, D-A-H-M-S, Gail. Gail, that's
writing that down.
Yeah,
okay.
I should look her up and see what else she did. But she was pretty well known, and so she was the one.
Yeah.
Born in Kitchener.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to tell some Philadelphia relatives about that connection. I didn't know about the I Love Onions part of that at all. So that
was I Love Onions. Yeah, and there were covers of that record too. I'm sorry to say, but apparently her name later became Gail Dom's Bonine, and she was born in Kitchener, and she was on The Silent Partner and The Little Rascals and all sorts of Canadian stuff. So she's well known there.
Well, I guess that means that William Shatner may be covered at one point. I'm just kidding with him.
I have no idea. So, yeah.
Well, you know, I just love Trivia Night. I love your show. I love the listeners. I mean, John from Ohio with the hominids?
Oh, no, that's Johnny. Yes, he is from Ohio. He's from Youngstown. Johnny D. from Youngstown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got me reading up on hominids. I just love that stuff. It's really interesting.
Wow.
And I was going to do a shout out for my fellow Wisconsinite. That's, I don't know, the Stephanie's from Madison, right, with the 60s, the early 60s hit song. She is like an encyclopedia. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Yep. But I really wanted to talk to you about Hank Williams and what Johnny from Austin had. Some really great West Virginia. There's so many West Virginia stories.
Sure.
But sure. Yeah, the you know, I mean, like, how do you make a legend? You know, my experience, I think, is a lot like other people that came upon this great singer, you know, generations later, you know. And,
well,
and you and I have talked about, you know, how you cross over to a different audience and so
right.
on.
Right. I don't think you can really make one in that way. You know, there's a lot of things you can do as far as PR campaigns and marketing and all that. But ultimately, what really stands out is the volume of material. And Hank Williams, even though he died at basically 30, the volume of material was unbelievable. And there was, you know, no doubt.
Yes.
How that was going to turn out. Unfortunately, like I say, due to his drinking and everything else, he was persona non grata when he died. Nashville wanted nothing to do with him. And I don't think too many people there had an idea how lasting these songs were going to be. But they were used fairly quickly, and you heard a lot of it, R&B things. Tommy Edwards did a lot of them, you know, a number of people. So absolutely, I don't think you make a Hank Williams. I think they're just born.
Yeah, his voice, his voice
well, that,
of loneliness,
it just
resonated with people the way he wrote songs like that, along with his lonely type voice.
Well, it was the pain, and he was in pain. He was in constant pain. It was the pain you heard in his voice. Yeah, absolutely true. We'll play some more, I promise.
What I was going to say was I came upon him through the Last Picture Show. So 1971, January 71, the Last Picture Show. Great movie, my favorite movie. Larry McMurtry is a great writer. It's his trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people like me associate that with, well, that's the Hank Williams song. I mean, everybody, he was such a big part. I know he wasn't all the songs of that movie, but could you imagine that movie with, like, Doris Day or Dinah Shore. You know what I mean?
No.
It's from that time period. No. It takes place in 1951-52, but it would be a different movie if it wasn't for all the different things that made that movie great. All those amazing actors and actresses.
Yeah.
But the Hank Williams songs at those moments of loneliness in the North Texas country. I mean, I get choked up about that movie and those scenes with Sonny and the Timothy Bottoms character, you know, he just has had so much. He's going to head out of town, and he just can't handle it anymore. And wow, that Hank Williams song! That these people that watched that movie, they wouldn't have dreamed of buying a country music record or something. You know,
they
what I
weren't
mean?
They weren't exposed to it. The two formats that were not general market were rhythm and blues and country. And they were both very regional and very exclusive in terms of they just didn't get the national exposure. And, of course, that's what made Hank Williams great, because those songs, of course, everybody did them over the years. But you'll love this. Gary is a first-time caller, and his father's family invented turtles. So what do you want to know about turtles? Because I'll ask them.
That's great. Wow, they're just so delicious. I wonder how they experimented to come. I wonder. Yeah, I don't know.
I'll ask. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Molly, thanks
so much for listening to me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. So 888-876-5593, 888-888-Raleigh. And Gary, a first-time caller in Oak Park, Illinois. So welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, thank you.
So was your family the Johnsons?
No, they were a Greek family.
Okay.
I don't know, I can't remember their last name. Ours is Koutsavides.
Okay.
And my father's cousin, invented the Demet turtle.
Yes.
That was sold in Marshall Field.
Yes, that was Demet's in 1923, but it says it was developed in 1918 by Johnson's Candy Company, and I wonder if your relatives...
Well, they made it, but he invented it.
Yeah, no, that's great, and then it became Demet's Candy in 23. After a salesman went into the commissary and showed a candy to one of the dippers, who pointed out that it looks like a turtle, and
right.
So that was the deal. That's fascinating. Now, I don't know how you patent this, but did your family ever have any type of a patent to this?
I have no idea.
All right. Well,
I know we used to get boxes of them.
Wow.
And I got sick from them.
No, really?
Oh, I ate too many.
Oh, geez. But it was worth it, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. That's absolutely great. So,
and we always went to Marshall Field, you know, in the that restaurant where the tree used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we always picked up that and the mints.
Okay. So
I forgot the name of the mints.
So George DeMitt, was he related to your family?
Yes.
Okay. So
they used to shorten the name.
All right.
To go through Ellis Island.
Well, you know what's interesting about this? Of course, back then, and I'm sure if you were around when he was alive, Chicago was a real candy center at the time. There were which was really neat. And so
I used to take the L to downtown, and we'd go by those candy factories, and the smell was incredible.
Oh, I'll bet.
You know, because the L didn't have air conditioning in those days. I'm 83.
Right. And I think now they have the minis and the bites and the classic. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's so hot. So mints as well, huh?
Yep.
All right. I like that. I like that. Well, I hope George had a patent on it somehow.
Well, I'm sure they did.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you patent candy, but whatever it is, I sure hope so.
Yes. And I enjoy listening to you. I just recently heard you a couple of weeks, and sometime I might try the trivia.
Oh, I hope so. We do it every Monday live, so I hope you will call.
Yes, I know. I like to listen to it on Friday.
Oh,
don't
good.
You repeat
yes,
it on Friday?
It absolutely does repeat on Friday. You betcha.
And I kick myself because I know the answer.
See, that's why you got to listen on Monday so you can call and win.
I know.
Yeah.
But I never get up. I never stay up this late. But now I'm hooked on you.
Ah.
And I stay up too late now.
Oh, well, I don't want to rob you of sleep. Sleep is sacred. But now, of course, you know, I'm going to try to churn out everything I can find about George DeMette. It said that he started in 1898 in a Chicago candy store business and soda shop. So I want to find out all about George.
Well, that's how my grandfather started.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. It was purchased by Nestle's in 1988. You should be
really?
Yes, you
should. I didn't know that.
You should be a wealthy man.
Well, they were a distant cousin.
Don't care. There was enough to go around.
Well, my grandfather did all right.
Yeah, I'll
because
bet.
He saved his money when he came here from Greece.
Oh, that's great.
He saved his money in gold. And when the crash of 29 hit,
he had
all his money in gold, and he bought up property after property all over Chicago.
And he didn't let it be confiscated, which is the best part.
Right.
Because so many people lost it that way. But it's interesting about Greeks and food because, of course, in Cincinnati, the delicacy, I think, is Skyline Chili, which really has very little to do with chili. But it was a Greek family that came over and started the Skyline Chili, and it's still the biggest thing there to this day.
Well, I remember my father used to take us to a restaurant that he knew the owner, a Greek owner, and it was like a deli sort of place, and he would bring cousins over from Greece, and they would live in the back of the store. Then they would get, formulated, and they'd open a store.
Yeah.
And that's how they kept coming.
Oh, of course, the old-fashioned way. So anyway, Nestle bought them in 88, and then in 2007, Brinwood Partners, venture capitalists, bought it from Nestle, and they also acquired a big building that was producing turtles in Toronto. And then in 2013, Brinwood sold the company to Yildiz Holding, Y-I-L-D-I-Z Holding. So that's who owns them today.
Is that a German company?
I have no I don't know. I never heard the name before.
Me either.
Yildiz. I gotta look.
Well, originally it was only sold at Marshall Field.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But then it wasn't. This says that Yildiz. They have a Yildiz shotgun factory in Berder. Where is Berder? Do we have any idea?
Germany.
Okay. Well, then there you go. And they have Yildiz USA. Shotguns made from a beautiful work of art. Well, they don't say anything about turtles, so I don't know. I assume this is more venture capital, is my guess.
Yes.
All right. Well, what a great story. I'm so glad you called. Do it again.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
That's great. Appreciate it. All right.
All right. So bye-bye.
Now, of course, I got to go get a turtle. You know what that's about. Yeah, I'll tell you what. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And we've got Eduardo in Tampa and Donna's in Oklahoma and James on the south side with his million stories. Oh, man, they're always good. Johnny D in Youngstown has a request. Well, I'm going to play one of his requests next. We'll see if it's the one that he wanted to hear. And hopefully you'll want to hear it, too, coming up on WGN Radio. Oh, I have where did it go? I knew that I had Johnny D's. I was too busy looking up turtles and getting hungry is the problem. But we're going to talk about Pixies as well. And you know, you can decide is the difference in name only. But and that was Fannie Mae. But we'll get there. But now I was sure that I had picked out. Oh, where is it? I don't think I have lost this, but maybe. Well, we'll just get it again is what I'll do, because I know exactly what Johnny D wanted to hear. Oh, by the way, did I say it's WGN Radio? I sure meant to. And it is the Raleigh James Show, because who else would admit to anything else? So I know that I pick this, but now we'll look again. All right. Here it goes. I hope. Yeah, I don't know what happened to it originally, but here it is now. That's for Johnny D, and we'll pick it up with him and hopefully you two coming up right here on WGN Radio.
We've been friends.
Okay.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, you can tell it's a Goffin King composition. It's Little Eva, Keep Your Hands Off My Baby. Dimension Records, of course. Yeah, Al Don Music, because obviously Don Kirshner was all over that. But I played that because Little Eva would have had a birthday this week. Yeah, she would have been 80 tomorrow. Born in 1943 in Belhaven, North Carolina. Moved to Brighton Beach when she was a teen and died in Kinston, North Carolina. Just 59 years old, she had cancer in 2003. So, all right, keep your hands off of my baby. So, I've been learning more about Yildiz Holdings than anybody would ever have a right to know. And again, people say, how do you know so much about everything? Because you guys ask. All right, so Yildiz, by the way, is Turkish. And which is interesting, and they're huge, and they are into candy. Near as I can tell, they are not related to the famous Yildiz shotguns, which are, you know, handmade, handcrafted gun. It's largely a food conglomerate, and they're huge. They bought Godiva a while ago, so they have a lot of brands, and so Yildiz owns that. So that's so our turtles are now in the hands of Yildiz, and then we have our Pixies, which are not related to our turtles, even though they're the same thing. But that's Fannie Mae. And I believe that Donna wants in on that discussion. All right, Donna, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello, hello, Raleigh. Turtles are patented, which is why they might be the same, made by a different company. They're called a different thing.
Right, and so that's why Fannie Mae calls them Patsies or whatever.
Pixies,
yes.
Pixies are with chocolate. They're Dixies without chocolate.
Okay. So
so if you want a naked turtle, one with just caramel and pecans, you have to ask for a Dixie.
Ah, but if you want a real turtle, you got to ask for a turtle.
Yep. And DeBetta Candies used to have a candy parlor out on 95th Street in Evergreen Park a gazillion years ago. And Fannie Mae isn't Fannie Mae anymore.
No, I read that.
They've been bought by a company. I think they want to, I want to say St. Louis, but I don't think that's right.
I think it's Wilson Holdings. I'm not sure, but somebody bought them, yes.
And they're the same people who make Buckeyes.
Huh.
Because the outlet is over on 159th in Harlem. And they sell Buckeye candy too there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm looking up Fannie Mae to see. Of course, John came in and said, I don't know. I thought there were mortgages. I said, no, that's MAE. They're now owned by Ferrero. Oh God.
Ferrero's candy.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. But but Fannie Mae, those buttercreams. Oh yes. So yeah.
Yeah, they are decadent. But Ferrara's Candies is out on the Eisenhower Expressway, out and I want to say on Harlem, just west of Harlem.
Right.
Because when you go past in the morning, you can smell the lemon cookie, lemon heart. They're called lemon heads.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
And the bakery, Ferrara Bakery, is in the old town. The old medical district on Taylor Street.
Okay.
And they've been in business for a gazillion years. Their breads are phenomenal.
Well,
and they make cannoli cakes that are out of this world.
That sounds good. Well, apparently Fannie Mae in 1992 sold to the Archibald Candy Company.
Archibald,
and, yes, and they had hundreds of retail stores. Unfortunately, they had more than they could handle, so they filed for bankruptcy. And then there was a bunch of other stuff. And in 2004, Alpine Confections purchased Archibald out of receivership and merged Fannie Farmer into Fannie Mae and moved the production to Harry London Candies in Green, Ohio. Fannie Mae was reopened in October 2004 with 45 outlets. So in 2006, Fannie Mae was sold for $85 million to 1-800-Flowers. I'm not making that up. And
they're part of the David and who is he conglomerate?
Oh, are they? I don't know. The fruit shippers? I don't know. Anyway, they continue to be manufactured in Ohio under Fannie Mae confections brands, while the Fannie Mae corporate headquarters remained in Chicago. Then, in March of 2017, the Italian confectionery giant Ferrero bought Fannie Mae and Harry London from 1-800-Flowers for $115 million. At the time, Ferrero indicated it hoped to expand Fannie Mae beyond its current regional market. So the buttercreams came in 1920. Oh, yes. In 1946, the Pixies came. In 1963, the Mint Meltaway. In 1972, the Trinidad. And in 1992, the Car Marsh.
God is good.
Yes, isn't that true? Man, those, but I'd be just happy if they stayed with the buttercreams. Yes. In any event, all good stuff. But so now it's owned by the Italians. Americans are going to own nothing by the time it's over.
Well, that must make a whole bunch of American millionaires very happy.
Well, the rest of us peons aren't glad. But I know
that. Well, I do like the Italian candies.
I know they didn't take a poll. Well, we still have turtles, even if they're made by Turkish people.
Well, not anymore.
Oh, well, no. Right. Yeah, no, the turtles are Yildiz. It is. And so so is Godiva.
Oh, and have you had the Godiva strawberry chocolate ice cream?
No.
It tastes just like strawberries dipped in chocolate.
Oh, shut up. Oh,
it's,
no.
It's very dark.
Don't tempt me. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm looking for the medical excuses now. We'll see what happened was. All right.
You had to find a 24-hour store that carried Godiva's and Fannie Mae's.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess it's good that things aren't open 24 hours, because now when I get off the air, I will not be able to go, you know, eat a zip code, because everything will be closed. Otherwise, it would be dangerous, I can tell already, because, you know, my Snickers bar ice cream just not going to do.
No, it's not. It's not the same at all.
Oh, God. All right, well.
Raleigh, you have a lovely evening.
You too.
And may the force be with you.
Yeah, exactly. Talk to you soon. Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, and an interesting weekend for all will be, of course, this weekend and the NASCAR race on Sunday. Won't that be fun? 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh and Eduardo is in Tampa Bay. What's up, Eduardo?
You're talking about chocolate. You know, now that I'm in Florida,
yeah.
I like chocolate. I got a sweet tooth. The thing melts. As soon as I step out of the
No. God forbid you leave it in the car. No.
Oh, my goodness. I like 5 seconds.
Yeah,
it's already,
no.
It's already melted.
Yes, doesn't take long at all. Yes. And you see, that's an excuse to eat it immediately.
Yeah, so I bought it because I was coming out of the plasma one time, and as soon as I got out, ate it. Didn't even, because I could walk from one of these grocers.
Uh-huh.
To the house.
Yeah.
I didn't even wait to get to the house or to the car.
No.
I ate it right outside.
Absolutely. That's the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah, before I mention my story here, or related stories here, fire ants, this lady in Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
You were talking about snakes and all that.
She died.
She died from an allergic reaction.
Yeah, died. I read that.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah.
Yeah. It can happen. I know. I must have been 20 years old, and I stood right there in a fire ant pile. And man, when
oh,
they start, yeah, it's just, and there's a lot of them. And I remember this because I was 20. I was on my first date with this guy. This is a true story. And he drops me off at my car, which was parked in a lot that had a lot of pine trees and stuff like that. This was in South Florida. And it had a red ant pile. And so I don't know him very well, of course. I'm just getting to know him. And all of a sudden, and I'm wearing a pantsuit. And one of the early pantsuits when they first became popular in the 60s. And so here I am. And the ants, they start to crawl up my legs. And I'm just screaming. I'm saying, ants, ants in my pants. And I'm just screaming this. And all of a sudden, I'm ripping my pants off in public. And this guy, I mean, the look on his face, I can see it to this day. But it was one of those things where I had to get those pants off me because the ants were all over them. And I didn't care that I was in my underwear. And I'm sitting there just beating on my legs. And yeah, so when I read about someone dying, I thought, well, gee, all I did was die of embarrassment.
Well, I mean, I know there's a lot of people over here, especially in the summertime, and it's the same there in Chicago or Florida, whenever it's summertime.
Yeah.
I don't like to wear shorts or slippers unless I'm at the beach. Right. I like to be covered up.
Well, especially for mosquitoes. That was my real nemesis on a regular basis. So, yes, I'm with you, head to toe. I would wear turtleneck sweaters in July if I was outdoors. You betcha.
Yeah, let me get to my source here because you got 15 minutes. So, sport injuries, particularly pickleball, they're saying UnitedHealthcare is saying up to like $500 million in injuries, and people are going to be getting hip and knee replacements.
Yeah, I was reading about that.
Pensacola.
Yeah, it might cost Americans $400 million this year. And
yeah.
I don't know how this thing got popular. Of course, I don't know exactly what it is. I've now seen pictures, but I had never really heard of it until all the stuff that's going on with Jamie Foxx when his daughter said, no, it's not Dyer. He was playing pickleball yesterday. So, of course, I had to look it up saying, what the hell is that? And yeah, they're saying $400 million in health care costs, up to 10%
right.
of unexpected medical costs. And firstly, I don't understand why this is so popular. And I mean, I realize that the paddle's a little bigger than, and the ball's a little small. I don't know. Why is it popular?
Yeah, it beats me. I mean, as far as that, I always found tennis to be better.
Well, and why did it grow during the pandemic? The Pickleball Association, of course, they have to have one, don't you know, has grown from 3.5 million to 8.9 million during the pandemic from 2019 to 2022 or whatever. And they're saying the number of pickleball players will jump to 22 million this year. What is it? I don't get it.
It's that, I'm going to say two words, intimate setting. Is that what that is?
Oh, God. Well, it doesn't look that intimate. Doesn't look intimate to me. I don't know. I want to be next to somebody coming at me with a paddle. But apparently the big injuries are tendonitis, fractures, sprains, tears, and concussions. No, sit on the couch and watch TV.
Speaking of injuries, this kid in Mexico is doing zipline. He fell 40 feet. Pensacola, some people died over the weekend, but they said they had like up to 30 calls. Because people were in distress because they were about to drown.
Oh, God.
So there's a lot of injuries as far as sport.
This is reason not to go out, really. Just stay at home and order in.
There you go.
They'll deliver pizza. And you won't have to worry about the weather or anything else.
Yeah, just listen to your show. Listen to the radio.
Yeah,
plenty of stations.
Yeah, very, very good. That's right. You betcha. Just turn on WGN and be happy. Yes.
There you go.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Yeah, you too.
Yeah. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, so we'll pick it up there with Johnny D and James, and hopefully in the waning moments, you too. But, if you don't get in tonight, remember, 21 hours from now, we'll do it all again for 3 hours. So, on WGN Radio.
It was well understood, but 3,000 miles and for everyone's good, a man stood singing his song, dancing around all the tombstones. He said that a man, if he's living, would rather be dead, and he opened the eyes.
the typewriter's lead, and he said, now it won't be too long. There was a lights out television show. There was a Amos and Andy on the radio, and a man on a hill running round, don't you know, saying everybody here got to go. There was a lights out television show. There was a Amos and Andy.
I'm Raleigh James, and that's Gene Cotton. Yeah, Columbus's own Gene Cotton turned 79 this week, born in 1944 in Columbus. Later, he moved to Leaper's Fork in Tennessee. And, oh, man, his dispute with the Tennessee Department of Transportation got him into state politics, and that was kind of amazing. But that album in 1978, Save the Dancer, had some good adult contemporary hits on it, like Before My Heart Finds Out and Like a Sunday in Salem. All right, it was Areola America. 888-876-5593. Going to take us to Johnny D. in Youngstown. What's up tonight, Johnny D.?
Yes, hello, Raleigh. As you can tell, maybe I still got a little bit of a gruff voice, all right?
Yeah, well, you're getting over the creeping crud.
What do you call it, creeping crud?
Yes, it's the creeping crud. That's the technical term, of course.
Well, I ain't got no creeping crud around here in these parts, I don't think, down here in, Cuyahoga Falls, you know. It's real nice down here. Mm. But anyhow, let's see, it's going to the end. So here's the deal. Yeah, so, you know, that's why I wasn't going to call, but when the fellow that you just hung up with a few callers back said he got interested in hominins and hominids,
yes,
you know?
Yes, Don and
Beloit.
From
the Monday Night Trivia?
Yes, Don and Beloit.
I'm just so glad I could influence somebody.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. Your topic is going to
be because that's such an interesting subject. Yeah. You should really get into it. It's so, you know, because, you know, you got to say to yourself, where the heck do we come from? You know what I mean? But that's me. Yeah. Uh-huh. I just want to know.
Well,
but, so then I thought I'd call then and give you, see, because that song is done, Rory. The only thing is, I haven't had the time where the voice is not right, you know?
Yeah, you'll get that.
I don't want to ruin it, because the song's great.
Okay.
It's a great song.
Okay.
And then that last song you just played, did they say radio?
Yeah.
Because that's what I say in this song.
Okay.
And here's what it is. I'll tell you this one line. And them Scotty songs coming out of them speakers was solid doo-wop gold. That's one of the lines.
All right.
But it's not done. The song's done. I got it on paper. But I couldn't sing it today because my voice was a little gruff. And my little grandson had to go get his tonsils or gonads. Did they call gonads in the throat?
No, you don't mean that. Tonsils and adenoids.
Adenoids.
He did not. He did not have his gonads removed. That's great.
No, it's adenoids.
Yes, right.
Yeah. And he had to have some done with them today. He's only 3 and a half, little Benjamin, you know. And Becky, my wife, had to go with my daughter to the hospital, right? And they went. But then I was sleeping because I was, you know, because she got up at 4:30 a.m. and then I was still up when she left. And I went outside and see Benjamin in the car, you know. And he was real. He's going, Grandpa, you know, this and that. Because it's still dark.
Yeah.
Because it was still dark. But anyhow, so, you know, and then I came in and went to sleep.
Uh-huh.
Then my wife, Becky, came home with Sammy. Oh, he's 6 now.
Uh-huh.
Mohair Sam?
Yes.
Mohair Sam?
Yes.
He's 6 now. And he slept, though. He's sleeping in there now. I hope I didn't wake him up. But so I couldn't sing because, well, first of all, I didn't think I had the voice for it right now. And then she didn't want to hear me sing. I mean, you know, she said, better not wake us up. Because I was going to go down and tease his fellas.
Right.
Huh?
I understand. Yes.
Yeah, she said, you better not wake us up. Because she was real tired and Sammy, I was playing with him. But anyhow, I wanted to say that. And then what else did I want to say here? Oh, yeah, when you were talking to Johnny G a couple of days ago about Hank Williams.
Yes.
you know, that's what made that come into my head about Dave and Ellen Code song, The Ride.
The Ride,
you know?
Sure. Uh-huh.
So then I thought of that, and then I thought, man, I'm going to make a song off of that one, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
Okay.
It's called The Raleigh Ride. It's coming, Raleigh.
Right.
I might not get it to you by tomorrow. I was thinking I was going to do it tomorrow, but I don't know if I'll be able to, but I'll try.
All right.
If I don't, I'll get it to you next week.
And I'm going to look forward to it. But if you feel like calling tomorrow, do. But do not tell anyone your grandchild is having his gonads removed. Oh, my God. Look it up.
Johnny, I knew it was something like that. Adenoids, I forgot.
Yeah.
What is it, adenoids?
Yes, I'll talk to you tomorrow maybe. Thanks, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Oh, man, that's
Bye.
Hilarious. All right, so apologies to James on the south side, but like I say, 21 hours from now, we'll do it again. Until then, it's just hitting me. You know, because they're talking so much now about transgender and all. All right, well, starting young. It's a good thing that's a wrap. We'll reconvene tomorrow, 21 hours, 10 p.m. Central Time. Until then, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air. John, for screening your calls. You, especially, for calling. Please do it again tomorrow night. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.